Yes, please. I am ready to order. I will have a quarter pounder, a half pound ticker stopper hamburger with a slab of cheddar and bacon, please, and onions. And I'll have a basket of fries. And I want those, the Hindenburg fries. Ones that are cooked with the skin on, right? And a malt. I'll take a caramel malt. No. Butterscotch. I'll take a butterscotch. Well, can I have it half caramel, half butterscotch? Yeah, okay. Thanks. And some coffee, right? And, we'll talk about dessert later. Probably some pie. Thank you very much. Hi, folks. Man, am I hungry. Haven't eaten for an awful long time. The reason for that was I had some more of that fun little sedation dentistry. Boy, just can't beat it. What a miracle of modern science that is. We finally invented a medical procedure for which you actually do not have to be present. It's just great. But I couldn't eat anything, for 12 hours beforehand. And most of that was time spent sleeping. Don't eat a lot when I sleep. But in the case of this particular night, I just sort of wanted to eat something because I was hungry. The next day, the dentist told me, you know, it looks like you were biting the side of your mouth. And I wanted to say, yeah, because I was hungry for anything. And I wonder if that qualifies exactly. I mean, if you chew the side of your mouth, does that qualify as eating something? It is you. It's not eating something else. There's no net gain. It's kind of like, you know, it's a zero-sum game, auto-cannibalism. But be that as it may, I was just starved. So here I am loading up on some food to get myself back into shape. Hi, welcome to the diner. Been a while, I know, but I've been busy here and there, hither, thither, and yon. I am James Lilacs, and I'm sitting at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern formica counter, so long, here at the old diner on an old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at this very moment. Get here quick, because it looks like another quick diner. I have so many things to do. Chief among them, the Gazebo Project. Gazebo. It's a word that makes me channel my inner Lurch. Well, that's... I don't know if that's a Lurch or a Sideshow Bob being hit in the face by the 13th rake that he stepped on. Maybe Lurch was a little bit more Basso Despero. Yeah, that's more Lurch. Sideshow Bob was more of a... Yeah, okay. Please make a note of it. The Gazebo Project continues apace, alas. If you're wondering why there is a Gazebo Project, or what that might be, you're new around these parts, aren't you? Yeah, I could tell. It works like this. Many, many years ago, I saw in Target a beautiful, beautiful, almost arts and crafts-like gazebo, and I envisioned a wonderful life of sitting outside in chairs while it rained, or just sitting outside under the canopy, just sitting outside in a gazebo, which just seemed a very civilized thing to do. So I bought it. It was, I don't know, $300 or so. Put it together with no small amount of effort, but it wasn't that hard. And it lasted. Yay, it did last. Now, the first year, I took it down. I disassembled the entire thing. This was a pain. I vowed not to do that again. And so I left it up for a couple more years, during which it was exposed to the elements. And the elements being what they are, it rotted the gazebo. It began to come apart and flake, and the veneers chipped. And eventually, it was a sad thing. So down it went. The furniture was just fine, because the furniture I oiled with teak oil. That was one of the things that was recommended to keep it in tip-top shape. Regular oiling with teak. And when it seemed to be a little weathered and exposed and the luster and the stain had faded on the chairs, I said, well, I'd best get out the teak oil then. And I did the old Karate Kid wax on, wax off for an afternoon and could see no conceivable, discernible difference whatsoever. So to hell with the teak oil. I don't know where it is. I've got some somewhere. It's probably in the shed next to the citronella oil that I bought by the 32-gallon drum. You know, it's interesting that oil is sold by barrels, right? But the barrel unit is not the same as the barrels that you see in pictures of barrel fields, as we call them in the old family oil trade. No, I think the unit for oil is something like 32 gallons a barrel. I think those are Yank gallons, not Imperial gallons. When I was a kid, whenever I heard Imperial gallon, I always envisioned a monarch's crown appearing over it as though it was related somehow to Imperial butter. Da-da-da-da! A little hat would appear over the guy, if you recall that. The barrels that you see are bigger than that. So the barrel may actually contain 1.2 barrels, which is odd. The standard barrel is 1.2 barrels. The actual barrel unit does not exist. We now return you to our regular gazebo-related discussion already in progress. I have the citronella oil, of course, I bought because we bought some tiki lamps. The tiki lamps we bought to keep out mosquitoes. The tiki lamps went up, the oil went in, the oil went all over my hands, impossible to remove, and we did absolutely nothing. There's this great grand belief that citronella oil repels mosquitoes. I think it may annoy them. I think it may bother them. But a hungry mama mosquito looking for some blood for the brood is not going to be set off by citronella. So I had these big, huge things that I'd staked in the ground. For that tiki look, roast a pig, have a luau, and it didn't go anywhere. So I got the tiki oil, I got the citronella oil, and they're all in the shed, waiting to go up in a ball of flame someday, no doubt. So after the first gazebo went down, I had to shop around and get myself another one, which I duly did. I went back to Target and got something, and this time I got metal. Now, I'm not going to have that problem with a deteriorating gazebo anymore. Oh, no. No, I'm choosing metal. Metal, the element that laughs, ha, 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 heartily, with a Falstaffian cheer at the elements. And indeed, it was metal. The only problem was it weighed about 3 ounces. And the wind would come, and the wind would move it. And first little breeze, move it a foot here, a foot there, no big deal. I would put bricks at the base to keep it in place. But then the true storms of summer came, and I would find the gazebo upside down like a drunk in the garden 20 feet away. Took the whole thing up, threw it around the yard, tossed it like a kitten. Why do we say that? Who tosses kittens? So that didn't work. It also, at one point, was bent, because it being metal, and cheap metal at that, I might add, when it was on its side, the other half would lean over and become all distended. So out that one went. Well, for gazebo number 3, Wise Pig Gazebo, I chose one that was huge and metal and heavy and substantial. Oh, this thing was just beautiful. Took the giant Swede, took the help of my friend the giant Swede to get the top of it up. Took me a little time to get the roof stretched across the top, very tight fit, looked beautiful. No storm could dislodge it. It was magnificent. Then came the snow. I neglected to... there's a tale, of course, in getting the gazebo. That's the amusing part, of course. I ordered it from Target. Target sent it UPS. UPS said, we can't deliver this to you. It's too heavy. They already accepted it. It sat in a warehouse somewhere, never came to me. I called Target, called UPS, twittered about it, twittered, UPS followed me on Twitter. Everybody got involved. There was a 3-continent conversation that went from here to Canada to Thailand somewhere where the call center guy was, and eventually we managed to get some guys from the local office of UPS and management to put on the brown uniforms and personally schlep the thing up the stairs to my house, which was very gratifying. But they said at the end of it, do you want the other one, because there's another one here. The first gazebo that I'd ordered and thought I'd sent back showed up at my house as well, and I said no. Thanks, guys. I've got a gazebo now. Yeah. Because I figured, why would I ever need another gazebo? Ever. I got this one. It's perfect. Well, when the snows came, I tried to get the lid of it off. I tried to get the roof off, and it was on too tight. On too tight. Couldn't get it off without ripping it. Didn't want to rip it. Left it on, figured, well, I'll just poke the snow off. Snow comes. I get out a device to poke the snow off and promptly rip a hole in the roof of the gazebo. So, then the rain comes in. Then the elements come in. Fast forward to the next season, when, of course, the gazebo, the snow, had bent the struts of the roof a little bit, the weight of it. So what do? I think, I'm not going to be beat by this. I'm going to buy struts. I am. So I went and bought some metal rods, and I taped the metal rods to the struts of the roof, and I taped them really securely. I don't have any welding gear, so I couldn't do that. And that braced them as such. So, and I used black electrical tape, so you couldn't hardly tell. And I was very, very proud of myself at that. Very proud. Then the winter of 2010, and the great heavy snows of December came calling. And not only did they fill the gazebo, they bent the roof down until the chandelier that had once soared above majestically, giving us light like the glittering ballroom of a Viennese aristocrat's house. The chandelier was touching the ground because the roof had bowed in so deeply, completely. And the snow was unremoved. There was absolutely no way I was going to get that thing back into shape. My struts were poking out all over the place. It was a disaster, and I knew it, and the gazebo was ruined. And then it froze. The snow, the melting ice, the snow froze, and the thing collapsed. And when it collapsed, it took down two teak-polished chairs, took out a chiminea, busted a tabletop, and everything lay in ruins for months. Well, I finally got the gazebo out last week. I went out there figuring I'd have to get a blowtorch. You know, I have to call those guys that you see in the documentaries, the ones who are always crawling over ships somewhere in Indonesia, disassembling cargo ships nobody else wants, with their teeth, from all I know. I thought, I can't do this myself. I'll have to get a metal saw. Couldn't get the screws out because they'd all rusted tight. Then I realized that fury, blind, raging fury, would do the trick here. And once I started working the metal back and forth, what I thought was previously indestructible in the height of gazebo building technology turns out to have been as pliable as butter when you're sufficiently angry. And angry at this gazebo and the entire concept of gazebo and myself for buying a gazebo in the first place and the knowledge that I was spending more money additionally on gazebo number four motivated me as such as I rocked the metal back and forth and back and forth until each piece snapped off in my hands with a great satisfying and a cloud of red dust went up because, yes, this thing was rusty inside, and by God, if I fell on it with my hand, it was Tetanus City, buddy. Mind you, I'm walking on a sheet of ice as I'm doing this in my, of course, you know, tennis shoes. So I managed to do it without puncturing my skin. I got the whole thing apart, and now it only remains to be taken down to the boulevard where the garbage men will reject it, I am sure. But we got to try. We have to try. So I've ordered gazebo number four, which is good. I ordered the furniture for gazebo number four, and it has arrived. Big boxes, which now sit outside under tarps. And I'm just waiting for the gazebo. Any day now. Yeah, I got it from Target. Yeah, it's the same one as before. And they swear they can ship it. Pray for me. All right, let's take a look at the jukebox here. What do we got? Let's go. There's a group called Gazebo, I think a techno-rock group or something like that, but I don't think there's any songs called In My Gazebo. Probably something from 1904. You know, those old songs that always begin. In those days, they always had somebody announce the name of the song. In My Old Spring Gazebo, sung by Josh Barnett. And then somebody at some point said, look, they can read the label. Probably Louis Sullivan. Anyway, let's see what we got here. Let's go to B1. Doesn't necessarily follow the
will be a little slow
Your own romantic difficulties have nothing to do with the meteorological arrival. Spring comes at a certain date. It has to do with the position of the Earth around the sun, the particular wobble of the poles, the warming of the atmosphere. Now, if you want to talk about the southern hemisphere, it's a different story, but then you'd be saying winter will be a little later this year, right? Okay? You think that's what they're saying down there? Think anybody in Australia is saying that there's, gosh, I wonder why winter is so late this year. Must be some guy who got his heart broken up in North America. I don't think so. The world does not revolve around... And there are three of you singing this, so all three of you had your hearts broken? Was that it? Simultaneously? Perhaps that's what happens. Perhaps if three guys have their hearts broken at the exact same time, it counteracts the vast celestial mechanism that brings spring to a hungry, waiting planet. But I don't think that really is the case. I just don't. So, yes, time heals all things, so I needn't cling to this fear. It's merely that spring. So we're saying, what, May 2nd, May 4th? Is that it? Is that how it works, exactly? How long is spring going to be delayed because you had your heart shattered by this dame? Because the rest of us would like to plan accordingly, all right? I'm not gonna be putting the flowers in if spring's going to be late for a couple of weeks or three or something like that. I mean, were you engaged? If you were engaged, I can understand. Maybe we'll hold off on the planting until the middle of the end of the last week of April, but some guidance would be helpful, guys. Helpful. I'm going to take this opportunity to avail myself of the facilities before my hamburger gets here, wash my hands, and we'll be right back after a word.
Now, Nancy Sinatra with a word to the wise.
You've been out six nights this week, and I don't know where you go. Tonight you're staying home with me. There's things that you don't know, like groovy things and other things. And boy, it's time you knew. We'll mess around, do lots of things, and drink a Coke or two. 'Cause things were better with Coca-Cola. Things were better with Coke. Life is much more fun when you're refreshed. Coke refreshes you better. Mood goes better with fun, goes better with wheels, go better with Coke. The real life one puts extra fun in everything you do. And you never get tired of the taste, Coke after Coke. Things go better with Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coke.
Never get your luggage packed. Meet you by the railroad track. Front when you jive and swing. Everybody's jumping on the Palm Spring. Riding like a buckaroo. Playing tennis, swimming too. Listen to the cowboys sing. Everybody's jumping on the Palm Spring. While the snow is falling on the mountain top, and the coyote calling, boy, they never stop. If you want a dancing song, you better bring some cabbage long. Filthy Luca is the thing for everybody jumping on the Palm Spring. J.J.
All right, Ticker Stopper Burger is not here yet. Well, I suppose that means we have time for one more tune. Let's see here. It doesn't really matter what it is, does it? As long as it's not doo-wop.
Ah!
That's my phone. Hold on. Hello. Yep. Yes, I did. Oh, good. Who? Stravinsky Trucking. All right. Oh, yeah, because UPS last year couldn't... Right, they couldn't deliver it. Well, yeah, it is heavy, I understand. Okay, so I should look for Stravinsky Trucking at my house. I can be there in 18 and a half minutes or so. Okay. Hold on a sec. I think I see your truck coming down the road. There she goes, heading towards my house. All right, I'll get behind her and follow. All right, thanks. Bye. I gotta go. Looks like my gazebo is about to be delivered, and the annual rite begins. Well, semi-annual. Well, every other annual. You know what I mean. Gazebo number 4. All I can say is wish me luck. Thanks for dropping by today, folks. This has been The Diner for Friday, April 8th, 2011. I'm James Lilacs, and we'll see you down the road.